Growing Older Without Getting Old. This message by guest speaker Dr. Robert Cannon was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, April the 29th, 2007, and was taken from Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 14.
Thank you. It's a delight to be with you today, and it's been a joy for me to serve with Brother Rod over the years, and we performed the wedding for Keith and Lisa right here in your church. And I also got to preach here one time in view of a call to a church. And so it's always a joy to come back and to be with you and to share with you. I serve not only as associate pastor but senior adult minister at Arrow Heights Baptist Church. Someone asked a young youth director one time who went from being a youth director to a senior adult minister, and they said, "How in the world could you make that change?" And he said, "Oh, it was great. I didn't have to deal with their parents." So it is that there's a joy in doing the things that we get to do for the Lord and being there. I want you to tell Brother Rod that he didn't tell me that he wasn't going to be here today when he called and asked if I'd come and share today with you. But I want to tell you, I came with good news and bad news about senior adults. The good news is senior adults are growing three times faster than any other population in the United States, and they are the most faithful givers usually that we have in church. So that's good news. But I have some bad news to tell you. It is a statistical fact that senior adults are the biggest carriers of AIDS in the United States. Did you know that? It's true. Walking AIDS, hearing AIDS, roll AIDS, and Band-Aids. I want to talk to you today about how we can grow older without getting old. My oldest son, Chris, was 4 years of age when I was the Baptist Student Union Director at the University of Stephen F. Austin State University in Texas. And some of the students were talking to him one day, and they asked him, here he is 4 years of age, and they said, "What's your goal in life?" You know, well, you know, like Alex would have done, because he's smart. Chris looked up and he said, "My goal in life is to get through it alive." Pretty good words for a four-year-old. Sometimes it doesn't matter what your age is this morning. While I'm going to be saying some things that have to do about the fact that we grow older and we mature in our life, I also want you to realize that we can be old at any age. I know some people who act like, you know, they're at death's door and they're young in age. And I know some senior adults that have more vitality and life in them than anybody else. So it is not a matter of how old we are. As far as our chronological age, it is a matter of how old we are in our hearts and in our minds and in our attitudes toward our life. Buckner Fanning was a great preacher in the state of Texas for many years, and he spoke one time and he gave these words, "Forget your age and live your life." Live your life. Some of you teenagers down here, you're in that process trying to determine, who am I? What will I be? What am I going to do when I grow up? I still ask that question once in a while, and I turned 65 this year. What am I going to do, you know, with the rest of my life? What am I going to be in that way? George Burns, when he was 96 years of age, was still performing, and he was giving performances at the Riviera Hotel in Las Vegas. And they wanted to sign him at 96 to a 10-year contract. He looked at them and he said, "You know, I think we ought to make a 5-year contract. I don't know whether you'll be here in 5 years or not. And if that works, I'll sign another 5-year contract with you." But then he added these words as he said to them, "You can't help getting older, but you don't have to get old. Growing old is a matter of age. It happens with the passing of years. But getting old is an attitude. It's a matter of our hearts. It's a matter of how we think and look at life and what life is to be." Winston Churchill wrote the words when he said, old age could conquer his body, but it could not conquer his spirit. It could wrinkle his skin, but it could not wrinkle his soul. And he was right as he said it. Most of us are about as young as our faith. We're as old as our doubts. We're as young as our hopes and as old as our despair. How old are you today? How old are you in the Lord? I hope you wrote in your Bible when you came to know the Lord spiritually, because you were born again. You started life all over again. How old are you in your relationship with the Lord? One of my heroes in the Bible is Caleb. You find him in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Joshua. I put it down for you and gave it to Rodney. It's in the 14th chapter of Joshua. And it is the recollection of Caleb as he stands now, and he is with Joshua, and they are at the promised land about to go in and take it. And ahead of them now is the great city of Hebron. It is a great walled city. It is inhabited by people of the Anakim, those 9-foot-high giants that scared them to death the first time when the spies went in and sought out the land and looked at it. It was a city that Caleb says, I'm 85 years old, but with God's help, I will go in and take this city, for it is the city that God has promised me way back those 40 years earlier when we went and looked at the promised land. You remember that they went there once before, right after they had gotten out of captivity in Egypt, and they came to the border of the promised land, and they looked at it, and rather than going in and taking it like the Lord said, they appointed a promised land search committee. And they went in and they viewed the land. And when they came back out, they made a report. 10 of them said, wow, it's too big. There's giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Their cities are walled and strong. We are not able to go in and take it. But Joshua and Caleb stood up, and Caleb gave a great report, and he said, oh no, we can take it. Let's go in and take the land. 2 said go. 10 said, oh no, let's wait. Now, while the majority may rule, the majority are not always right. It doesn't always happen that way. The fears were greater than the faith for those people at that point. The giants looked bigger than God. The obstacles outweighed the opportunities. And they said, no, we will not go in. Do you know this morning that negative thinking is a communicable disease? Doesn't take very many people to start, you know, saying negative things, and everybody gets on the bandwagon. Even though the majority may know better and know that that's not the way it ought to be. They rebelled against Moses, they rebelled against the report of Joshua and Caleb, and they did not go in. For 40 years they wandered in the Sinai Peninsula. They didn't make much progress. Somebody has calculated they went 20 miles per year and 100 yards a day is all they made it. I know some churches that don't do much better than that. And for the same reason, disobedience. They would not do what God asked them to do. They decided in their own minds that they couldn't do it. They saw all of the mighty obstacles, all of the barriers, all of the problems, but they forgot that when God says, go in and take it, you're well able to do everything that God asks you to do. Have you found that to be true in your life today? So here they stand in Joshua chapter 14, at the border once again, about to go in and take it. Hear the words of Caleb himself, as he begins to write, as we look in Joshua chapter 14. Start in verse 7. I was 40 years of age when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. I gave a heart report. I didn't just see with my eyes. I reported what it was that God had told us to do, and I believed it, and it was in my heart to do it. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. That's an interesting little phrase. It's found three times in this passage. I wholly followed the Lord my God. Whether it seemed to make sense to other people, whether it seemed to be the thing that looked obviously right to do, I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am, 85 years of age. Now listen to this report. As yet I am strong, as strong today as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so it is now my strength for both war, for going out and coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. If the Lord is with me, I'm reading out of the New King James, I don't like the word they use there, for it says, it may be that the Lord will be with me. I don't think there was any doubt in Caleb's mind at all. If the Lord be with me, I shall be able to drive them out, even as the Lord has said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. And it became the inheritance of Caleb for the rest of his days. I want to talk to you this morning about how you can get older, but you don't have to get old. Caleb's vision was not dimmed. His faith was not daunted. His enthusiasm was never destroyed. His trust in God was never diminished. He believed in God and what he said. Let me give you four things today that might help you to keep from growing old before you leave this life, no matter how old you are. There are four suggestions that I would give you. The first is shape up. Keep your body as fit as you possibly can. There are things that happen to us in life that affect our vitality and some affect our vanity. And those that affect our vanity, there's not a whole lot we can do about. They say there are the five B's of aging. Do you remember them? Baldness, bridges, bunions, bulges, and bifocals. I passed bifocals up a long time ago. I have trifocals. My wife has progressive lens because she doesn't want anybody to see lines in her glasses. I have trifocals. Somebody has said, time is a great healer, but it's also a lousy beautician. We don't always look. I still look in the mirror and say, that isn't me up there. I don't know about you. I have a vision in my mind of something else. I don't want to see what it is now, but that's the way it is. Sometimes our vitality is affected by age itself. Shape up. Keep yourself. Those who say, I can do as much as I did at 20, probably didn't do much at 20. Because our bodies just begin to wear out. And while I think I can do that, I find I can't do it. Taking care of our bodies didn't mean a lot at the turn of the century, because the average age of a man was about 47 years of age. But now we live into our 80s, our 90s, and many are living into their hundreds. My father-in-law is 93 years of age, lives by himself in Garland, Texas. 93 years of age. And many of the folks in our church now are like that. we begin to advance. It is stress that kills most of us, not old age. It's just the stress factors that come in on our life. And because our body was meant to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, I think it is an admonition from the Lord, and Caleb talks about it here when he says, I'm as fit as I was 45 years ago. I can still go out to war. I can still do everything that I did then. Give me the land. I'm ready to go and to take it. I will do what I ought to do. And I believe with the Lord's help that I can do it. There was no doubt in his mind about it. We need to know that we need to shape up and keep our bodies active in the Lord and to do that for him. Most of what happens to us happens because of disuse. We don't use our bodies like we used to. We don't keep our minds as alert as we used to. We don't keep ourselves as healthy sometimes as we ought to. But you notice that Caleb said, I am as strong today as I was back then. And I have served the Lord faithfully every day of my life. Dr. Eric Pfeiffer is a physicist at Duke University. He says to us, take old age in stride. Take long walks. Watch what you eat. Keep busy. Have a yes attitude to life. And he is right. Not only are we to shape up, but I believe also, secondly, we're also to say it's never too late. There are still things I want to do. We have 62 senior adults going on the Alaska cruise in June from our church. And I can't tell you how excited most of us are to get to do that. It's just always been one of those things on my list. I want to do that before I go to be with the Lord. And Denali Park that we're going to go to with the inner inland part of that trip, you know, they say it's the most beautiful park in the United States. To see the beauty and the grandeur of all that God has made in there. We do lose some brain cells with age. But they also tell us that we keep learning all the way up at least until our 70s. And we ought to know a whole lot more now than we knew back there when we were 20 and 30 and 40, because we've lived some things in life and we know that and we've experienced it. And therefore, we can live a stimulating life and do the things that God wants us to do. I want to remind you today about the people who in their older years of life contributed a great deal to life. Michelangelo completed the Dome of St. Peter when he was 87 years of age. Tennyson, at 83, wrote the great poem, Crossing the Bar. Winston Churchill wrote a 4-volume work, The History of English-Speaking People, when he was 82 years of age. Benjamin Franklin, at 81, was one of the framers of the Constitution of the United States. Jessica Tandy, at 80 years of age, won an Oscar for Driving Miss Daisy. And Moses was 80 years old when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt in captivity. And the Apostle John, we believe, was in his 90s when he wrote the book of the Revelation. Maybe God's not through with me yet. Maybe he still has great things for you to do. I remember Doc Pruitt, when I pastored in Stillwater at University Heights Baptist Church for 10 years, and Doc Pruitt had been a long-time history professor at Oklahoma State University. He was 92 years of age. His wife had died. He lived in a big 2-story house. He couldn't anymore walk up the stairs. He had moved everything into the living room of his home, and I would go to visit Doc Pruitt, as everybody called him on campus, and he would look at me and he'd say, Brother Robert, I got up this morning and I read the obituary. My name wasn't in it, so I got to work. At 92 years of age, he read a book every day and memorized a poem every day. I never visited him that before I left, he didn't quote a poem to me verbatim. He kept his mind active. He kept doing things. He had a zest for life that kept him going. And even at the age of 92, God wasn't through with him yet. Did you notice in that reading in Joshua 14, Caleb remembered with great clarity everything that happened when they went into the promised land. He remembered everything that God had said. Now, I know some of you are saying, yeah, that's the way it is with you old folks. You can remember everything in the past. You just can't remember what you ate for breakfast. But he remembered and he knew. His mind was active. Not only did he keep his body in shape, but he kept his mind fervent upon the Lord. Third thing that I would say to you is it's a time for fine-tuning. Not only does your body need to be kept good as you can keep it, even though it wears out physically, our minds need to be kept sharp, but it's a time for fine-tuning our faith. Faith is the essential ingredient to a life well lived. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. How's your faith today? Are you keeping it up to date? We all exercise faith. Every time we get in our car and drive anyway, where it's an act of faith. Every time we fly on an airplane, our older son Chris was coming back from Peru today, where he's been for the last 2 weeks. Every time you sit down and eat in a restaurant, it is an act of faith. Every time you go to the doctor that you really don't know that well, and they give you a prescription that you can't even read, and you take it to a pharmacy to a person that probably you don't even know, and then you go home and take that pill, it is an act of faith. Our life is built upon faith. Even atheists have faith. They put their faith, their trust, their hope in something, even if it's themselves. What Caleb could say is, I have no doubt that I can take the land and Hebron because I believe in the one who has told me I could do it. Is your faith in God? Is your faith continuing to grow? Are you fake focusing on what you can do? We still, I don't know how much longer it'll be, put on our coins in God we trust. We're in danger of losing some of those privileges. But in whom do you put your trust? Caleb said, my trust is in the Lord. It's not in my wisdom. It's not in my abilities. It's not in my talents. It's not in my strength, Caleb would have said. I wholly put my trust and faith in the Lord, and He will not fail me. He certainly didn't put his trust in himself, but he put it in the one he knew could do that. The first cosmonaut went around the world and came back and he proclaimed to the world, I've been around the world, I didn't see God anywhere. The first American astronaut went around the world and he came back and he said, I saw God in everything I saw. What's the difference? One had a relationship with the Lord and a faith in Him. Some may be here this morning and say, I don't see God in anything happening in my life. But those who have known Him and have faith in Him can honestly say, everything that happens to me is an act of faith. The grandfather took his little grandson fishing. They talked about many things that day, but at the end of the day, the little boy looked up at his granddad and he said, Granddad, did anybody ever see God? Granddad thought for a moment and he looked down at the boy and he said, it's getting so that I hardly see anything else. I see God in everything I see. You remember that song we've sung for so many times in our life? Help us to see Thee more clearly, to love Thee more dearly, and to follow Thee more nearly in my life. My body, my mind, my faith, and fourthly, Caleb did nothing half-heartedly. He knew that the essence of his life came from the innermost part in his heart that he had placed in the Lord. He was wholly yielded to the Lord. His heart was right. His dreams and his dedication never failed him. A lot of people would have given up on the Promised Land after 40 years wandering around in that desert, but not Caleb. His dream was still there, just as sharp and just as clear as what the Lord had told him in the first place. Some of you have dreams that have not yet been fulfilled, and some of you have given up on the dreams of your youth. But the Lord says to you, oh, don't give up. What I have said to you, I will bring about. What I have promised to you, I will do. And what I have given to you in my word will be accomplished. And so it was that Caleb maintained his dedication to the Lord all of his life. So he did it. One writer wrote it this way: we live in an age of half faith and half doubt, standing at the temple door, head in, heart out. How much of you came today to give yourself afresh and anew to the Lord Jesus? Half-hearted devotion will never make it. You remember what the Lord said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and you shall love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and with all your might. Have you given yourself totally to the Lord? When the Stuarts were reigning in the king of England, there was a man in the army called Marquess of Huntly. He was captured by the enemy. They told him he must either renounce his king, or they showed him an axe and a block of wood and told him they would put his head on that block and cut it off if he did not denounce the king. His statement was simply this: you may take my head from my shoulders, but you will never take my heart from my king. Oh, that we could end our life saying, my body's worn out, but my heart still belongs to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My trust and my hope and my faith is in Him. I trust in Him. And so Robert Browning wrote the great words of the poem that we have heard so many times: grow old along with me, the best is yet to be. The last of life for which the first was made. Our times are in His hands, who said, a whole I planned, youth. See but half, trust God. See all, do not be afraid. Oh, that we could be a Caleb. That we could shape up. That we could keep on knowing it's never too late to learn and to grow. That we could fine-tune our faith, and that we could make our heart totally and completely and wholly committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we trust. Would you pray with me? Our Father, as we come before You in prayer, we ask that we might learn the lesson from those who have gone before us and from Caleb this morning, as we realize it's never too late. Father, if there's one here this morning that has put their hope and their trust and their faith in something beside You, we pray that they might come and yield their life to You and find life in its entirety. You are life, and without You, we have no hope now or in eternity. Our Father, we give You thanks for those who have gone before us, our grandmothers and our grandfathers that we look to for inspiration and guidance. And some of us now find ourselves in those roles. We pray that we would be found wholly faithful to follow You all the days of our life. We pray for each of these. We give You thanks for this church. We give You thanks for those You add to it and as they together link their arms and their lives to bear witness to you in this community, in this city, in this state, and in our world. Bless us as we continue to love you and trust in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.